you're all very welcome along to another episode of the Gaelic Statsman podcast. I'm your host, Matt Hurley, and I'm joined here by Gaelic Games Fan TV host, Aaron Prendergast, to discuss this weekend's games in the Allianz Hurling League and a bit about the Cogue as well later on in the chat. No football this weekend, as we were mentioning off air to each other there. So a bit of a quieter weekend than usual, but the rest is most definitely needed for the both of us and for GA fanatics up and down the country, definitely. Before we get into the podcast, I'd like to mention our sponsors today at Capture Athletics. If you want gear like this that I have at the moment, and hoodies and jerseys for your club, your local club in Gaelic Games, be sure to check out Capture Athletics online and check the link in my description to check them out. So Aaron, like, no football this weekend, as we were mentioning off air there, just the hurling this weekend, and yeah, maybe an opportunity to look more into the hurling teams rather than the football teams.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, as I was saying to you off air, yeah, firstly, cheers for having me on once again. As I was saying to you off air, like, I think probably the main focus, for myself, I probably am more of a football man than a hurling man anyway, so that probably is one of the reasons. But I do think the Football League probably has, it just seems like it has a lot more jeopardy. There's a lot more going on there than the Hurling League. But at the same time, look, there's been some very good games in the Hurling League this year. I do think it's been a lot more exciting, especially with the slight change in format in terms of more teams having more jeopardy. Has made it a lot more entertaining. And I think we saw some very good games so far. The likes of Clare and Cork on the opening weekend, I thought it was a very good game. And yeah, looking at some of the games this weekend, like, you could have some absolute crackers. Obviously, Limerick, Tipperary, Clare, Kilkenny, Galway, obviously, going up against Dublin as well, which probably from a Dublin perspective, like, I think it would be speculative of myself to predict us getting anything from that game, albeit our record against Galway hasn't been too bad down the years. And yeah, Waterford, Wexford, and Offaly, Cork as well. So some big games, some interesting games, and yeah, looking forward to previewing them.
Yeah, exactly. So, and before we get into the games, we'll usually talk about the weekend Gaelic games. And to be honest, there's been only one story this week, so we'll get into that. And it is 1-2, really, and it's returnees. So, two big returnees this weekend, with Marty Clark, the legendary Down footballer, who's actually returned for after a long period of time out playing AFL and then going back to do punditry. He's now back in Conor Laverty's team as a goalkeeper for that Down team, so should be a boost for them. And not only that, we see Johnny Lynn is rumoured to be back in the Galway team in hurling as well after his exploits, obviously, with New York footballers last season as well. So, firstly, Marty Clark, Aaron, did you expect this coming?
No, like, I think it's definitely a record, all right? Like, what, 13 years or something like that since he last played? And he's coming back as a sub-goalkeeper. I think it kind of reminds me a bit of when Joe Sheridan came back into the midfield, and he was also like a sub-goalkeeper as well. Albeit he hadn't actually retired, I don't think. I think he just, he'd maybe stopped playing for a couple of years and then went back in. So, it is quite bizarre, all right? But I suppose that's kind of the way football is going now. Like, you have a lot of outfielders playing in goal. When you look at Ethan Rafferty, obviously, for Armagh, I think the Laois goalkeeper, Carl Roach, I think he's an outfielder with his club as well, from what I've heard. Yeah. And even Stephen Cluxton's an outfielder with his club, to be fair. So, like, it is such a common trend where you do have so many outfielders playing in between the sticks. And, yeah, maybe it's Conor Laverty just thinking outside the box, like, whether he's actually going to play, whether he is going to be a sub, I don't really know. But then again, like, would you really come back after 13 years to sit on the bench? Do you know what I mean? I don't think you would, to be honest with you. So I do think he probably will start. Maybe not in the league, but I think when the championship comes around, he might start, and maybe he's going to be that extra man, that sweeper keeper that Down are looking for. And yeah, I think it's going to be very interesting to keep an eye on it.
Definitely is, and it'll be interesting to see how Down progress in Division 3 and the Ulster Championship. And while we're on the hurling week this week, another returnee, Johnny Glynn, to the Galway team. Obviously, he was electric for the Galway supporters in years gone by. Did well for New York footballers, obviously, last season, but has come back. We've seen him in the Galway Club Championship in hurling this season as well. Do you think that's a good move if Johnny Glynn is, if the rumours are true, is to come back in? Will that be cool for Henry Shefflin's side?
Yeah, it's interesting, all right. Like, I think maybe like just the, I don't really know, like it's kind of, I suppose you can never not have another experienced player. I think the more experienced players you have can really help, especially with the transition. Like there has been a lot of younger Galway players coming in, and much of that sort of crop of 2017, like a lot of those lads have, I suppose, slowly started retiring, are probably more, you know, all kind of coming to the end of their time. Obviously a lot of them are still playing. So look, it's an extra option. It's a player, obviously, that Henry Shefflin trusts. And again, I don't think Johnny Glynn comes back to Galway if you know, if he's not going to feature, if he's not going to play. And yeah, it's probably, you know, it's probably a big loss to the New York footballers as well, because he was a key part of that team that obviously won the you know, or beat Leitrim in that game last year. So it's probably a big miss for New York. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see like what type of role he will play. Like obviously he's been very involved at club level. He's obviously been very involved with New York as well. So I don't think anyone can doubt, you know, his fitness. It's not like it's, you know, I think there's maybe question marks over Marty Clark in terms of fitness, how will he come back and everything else. But I don't think anybody's doubting Johnny Glynn. So yeah, I think it's gonna be a real fascinating one, to be honest.
It should be all right. And yeah, it'd be interesting to see if Johnny Glynn actually pulls on the Galway shirt this season, and if the rumours from Galway BFM are indeed true. But we will move on to the hurling action this weekend, and we'll start off with a cracker on Saturday night live on RT2 in Super Valley Park in Kyiv. It is at 7:35 p.m. It is Limerick against Tipperary, and worth noting as well, this was the only team that Limerick faced the championship last season and failed to beat. So Tipperary will be really, really competitive with this Limerick team. Obviously, both sides have three wins from three. Tipperary only squeaking over the line in the end against Westmead, thanks to a Noel Connolly OG, whereas Limerick absolutely obliterated Dublin on the last day out in Croke Park. So, like, it's an interesting game, this. Like, maybe an opportunity for Tipperary to win the game, considering this is on in Cork, in Super Valley Park, Kilkenny, because of the fact the Gaelic ground is under renovation. So, maybe a leveler, would you say,
Darren? Yeah, I think so. I do think it's going to be, yeah, like I think obviously playing the game in the Gaelic grounds, like Limerick's record there is obviously very, very strong. It's a ground obviously that Tipperary know very well as well, but it probably does neutralise the game a little bit. But yeah, like obviously it was at the Dublin game versus Limerick, and they were just complete levels above from the opening couple of seconds. I think they got a goal after 20 seconds, or I think it might have been even less than that, like 10 seconds or something. It was something bizarre like that. But yeah, I think the thing about Limerick, and I think that like the thing that is most worrying, like from everybody else's perspective, is the fact that they, fair enough, they've introduced a few of their experienced heads. Like obviously Cole Hayes was back the last day, Tom Morrissey was back, Grode Hegarty was back. But you know, you've got the likes of Cathal O'Neill, who's really establishing himself now, you know, maybe as a potential starter for Limerick. You've got Adam English, Donegal Dawlings looking very strong as well. He scored a couple of goals the last day versus Dublin. So yeah, like Limerick have a wealth of options. And I think for Tipperary, like it is one of them. And I think for Liam Cahill as well, just to sort of get that win against Limerick, because, you know, it'd be interesting to see what Liam Cahill's record is against Limerick. I can't imagine it'd be great. Maybe he's beaten Limerick in the league when he was in charge of Waterford. I'm not entirely sure. But in terms of both championship and league, you know, his record against them mustn't be very good. So I think it's a massive opportunity to try and get at least a win. You know, it could just give them that bit more confidence when they play each other in Munster further on down the line. Obviously, it was a massive win when they played Westmead the last time out. They had a very good result against Galway as well, and even beat Dublin fairly comfortably. So, yeah, like Roald O'Connor, like he's been the main man there. So it's going to be interesting to see what type of plans Limerick have for him. But yeah, I think it's huge for Tipperary, because considering, I know Tipperary are, you know, it's not like they've been going their strongest start 15 either, but I just think if Limerick, you know, especially with it not being in the Gaelic grounds, obviously maybe not starting some of their better players, if, you know, if those Limerick younger lads rock up and beat Tipperary, I just don't think it will do Tipperary hurling any good in the long term, in my opinion.
Yeah, it should be an interesting game, right? Considering the Limerick team has just come out before we recorded this podcast. They have Colin O'Neill at centre back, at number six, which should be very interesting indeed to see that.
Wow.
Type of dynamic. Kyle Hayes isn't on the panel, so that's big news in its own right. Dermot Burns, it's a half-back line of Dermot Burns, Cathal O'Neill and Colin Coughlin. I know both Coughlin and O'Neill are very, very good players and have been good at Fitzgibbon and for Limerick over the last few seasons. But considering Garrett O'Connor, as you mentioned, his form is absolutely terrific and he plays a centre forward for Tipperary, will that be an opportunity for Tip to maybe take advantage of this game, considering if the matchups all match up, no pun intended, Colin O'Neill will go on Garrett O'Connor. Like, will that be a test for Colin O'Neill in his own right? Because he's much more used to attacking more than defending.
Yeah, like, I'm not entirely sure. Like, I don't know if that's John Coyley playing a bit of tricks and playing a bit of games and everything else, just trying to get in the head of the opposition. Like, we see this so many times in both football and hurling. You can never really know whether you can take it seriously. But look, to be fair to John Coyley, we've seen him do it before with Kyle Hayes, to be fair. You know, he obviously brought him back to playing at wing back, and that was a bit of a masterstroke at the time. So we have seen him do it. We saw him bring Dan Morrissey from halfback into fullback. We've seen him make, you know, change, rotate players' positions all the time, to be fair, push some players further up the pitch. So it could be something he looks towards. But yeah, it is an interesting Limerick team that's been named. And I just think it's a huge opportunity for Tipperary. I think Tipperary probably need to win this more than Limerick need to win it. Just for the fact that I think Tipperary could really do with a bit of silverware and could really do with getting to the league final or potentially winning it. So yeah, look, it's an interesting Limerick team named, but it's probably not that big of a surprise to hear certain players missing as well, because we know that John Coyley does like to rotate quite heavily throughout the league.
Quite interesting as well in the full forward line. They have Aaron Galan and Peter Casey both back in the team, and they weren't there to be seen against Dublin. So maybe he's going to go over this. We'll have to see on Saturday evening. But Tipperary, like, they do have good players there, obviously, other than Garrett O'Connor, as you mentioned. Like, Jake Morris is doing well at the moment and has more of a leadership role. I think he's the vice captain or captain of the team. You have Billy Seymour on the bench, and obviously, he was excellent for Kildangan in the club championship. So, like, as you mentioned with Tipperary, it's an opportunity to beat Limerick. But, like, a lot of commentary about Tipperary in the off-season was they would struggle in Munster because of Liam Cahill's kind of disconnect with the fans and the fact there was no Kildangan players in the Tipperary panel. I think Alan Flynn came out with a statement and complained about that. Now you have Billy Seymour in the panel for Tipperary. So, considering they have 3 wins on the board and they were pretty comprehensive winners against Dublin and were very good against Galway as well at home, in fairness, do you think the commentary around them in the off-season was a bit unfair in its own right? Because there's still some quality players on the pitch for Tipperary.
Yeah, look, I think it's one of them where maybe one or two players weren't happy with the manager. But I do think all in all, when you look at where Tipperary were from, you know, considering the season previous, obviously under Colin Bonner, like, they've been massively going backwards. And to be honest with you, I think if things went really bad for Tipperary this year under Liam Cahill, I think people would start to have to look more at the players. I think they really, really would, because, like, Tipperary won an All-Ireland back in 2019. They've had a huge amount of underage success. They don't really have excuses. Like, they can't really be making any excuses, in all honesty. And I think they do have a very good side. Like, obviously, they were beaten in the quarterfinals in that game versus Galway last year. But they had some very, very good games in Munster. As you said, like, they were very close to beating Limerick. Obviously, that game finished a draw. So there's a lot of potential in Tipperary. And look, Munster's going to be tough. A lot of very, very good sides in there. You know, Clare, Cork, and Clare, Cork, Waterford, Limerick, obviously, as well. You know, you've a lot of very, very good sides. Waterford maybe might struggle a little bit, but it will be tough for Tipperary. So, I think maybe slightly blown out of proportion. And it's been a very strong start to silence the doubters. And I think if they can go out and beat Limerick this weekend, it would silence the doubters even more.
Do you think that'll be the case? Do you think Tip will rock up and beat Limerick here?
It's a hard one to know, because when you mentioned, I didn't hear you mention Aaron Glan had started initially. So, like, if he does, but does he actually start though? That's the thing. Like, could there be late changes? It kind of is hard to know. I don't know. I think I'd just edge at Tipperary because of their form. But again, this is one of them where it could, you know, a draw mightn't even be a bad show here.
Yeah, it's a tough one to call, right? I said on Seamus's podcast before, and check that out if you haven't already, that Limerick would win this game. Seamus agreed with me as well. I'm going to tip it to Limerick. I'm going to stick to my word and say that Limerick win the game. But considering Tipperary have 3 wins in a row, Limerick have 3 wins in a row, both on similar form, it should be interesting to see how it ends up on Saturday evening. Before we get into the next game, I'm commenting here, Kid Cody, Gaelic Sassman, Murch. Yeah, thanks to the lads at Captures Athletic for offering me this gear. So thanks to the lads once again. We'll move on to the next game, and this is Division 1A, Clare against Kilkenny on Sunday at 1:30 live on TG Carr. I said this to Seamus on his podcast. This is a huge game for Clare. Do you agree with me, Aaron? Considering like the last two semi-finals against Kilkenny in the All-Ireland Championship, Clare flattered to the seed more or less. 2020, 2022, they were absolutely blown out of the park. 2023, they made error after error and hit a number of wides, and ultimately they only had themselves to blame last year for losing to Kilkenny. And me and Seamus were talking about this, about a mentality factor. If Clare managed to win this weekend against Kilkenny, maybe that will give them the confidence to maybe beat Kilkenny in the All-Ireland Championship, because they've been close to Limerick over the last few seasons, but the one team they struggle against in the All-Ireland Championship, and it's no secret, it's Kilkenny. So is it crucial for Clare to get a win this weekend?
Absolutely, yeah. Like, and I suppose it's one of them really where even if they do beat Kilkenny, like, they probably still won't have put in the cobwebs to bed. It probably won't happen until, you know, these two play each other again, potentially in a semi-final or maybe even a quarter-final, depending on how things go. But yeah, it's absolutely huge for Clare. I think, again, you know, because of the situation in Munster with how good Limerick are, it sort of makes the league maybe a little bit more important for the likes of Clare, the likes of Tipperary, albeit, you know, obviously the Munster Championship is very, very intense. And, you know, if you get to a league final, it means your preparation might be cut in time. So that is a consideration, most definitely. But I think Clare should be looking to win the game. And look, some of the players that they've had so far this year, likes of Aidan McCarthy, Mark Rogers have been in flying form. Mounsey, I think, has been a great addition as well. Davey Fitzgerald has been decent as well. So Clare have had a lot of good performers so far this season. And, you know, the win against Cork, I thought, was very impressive, because Clare in the league in the last few years have been a little bit, you know, slow starters in the league in many ways. So, they've shown a lot of good grit so far. They've got a good squad, a good depth to their team. It's going to be fascinating to see how they get on against Kilkenny, because as we know, Kilkenny probably do have, in terms of depth, like one of the best teams in the country.
Yeah, it should be very interesting to see how Clare perform this weekend. Against a good enough Kilkenny team, it'll be interesting. Actually, Tony Kelly's not going to be in this game, obviously he's injured. Shane O'Donnell probably won't be either. You would imagine TJ Reid won't be for Kilkenny. So, in a way, I know there's a mentality thing going into this game, and there always will be with Clare facing against Kilkenny. But would there be a bit of an element of shadow boxing in this game? Considering both sides have been probably the closest teams to Limerick over the last few seasons, do you think both teams will kind of hold back as well in Cusack Park?
Yeah, it's hard to know. Like, I think it's like that in the Hurling League in general, isn't it? Kind of across the board. You could even say that about the Limerick-Tipperary game to a certain extent. I don't think there'll be as much here, just with the fact that, you know, it isn't necessarily a guarantee that these two play each other, albeit they have played each other, you know, in the last couple of years in the All-Ireland series. But I think especially as well with some of the newer faces that have been coming in to the side, like Billy Drennan obviously coming back in for Kilkenny, you know, likes of David Blanchfield, obviously Adrian Mullen coming back in since his exploits obviously with Ballyhale. Keane Kenny's been in good form as well. So, yeah, I don't really think it will be, to be honest with you. I think both sides will not necessarily go as strong as possible and play their, you know, to the best of their ability, but I think both sides will go out to win, and I don't think there'll be any real consideration for shadow boxing or anything like that.
Should be a very interesting game, all right. But who do you think will win the game? Do you think it'll be the home side in Clare, or do you think Kilkenny will beat Clare once again and make it? I think that's three wins in a row if they do it this weekend, so in all competitions. So can Kilkenny do that this weekend?
Yeah, I fancy Kilkenny. I fancy Kilkenny to turn Clare over. I just think we're obviously Adrian Mullen back in the side. Billy Ryan, I think, has been impressive as well. And I just think they have a bit more depth and a bit more options to their team. I think their panel's much stronger than Clare's right now, especially with some of the players that Clare are missing. I know obviously TJ Reid is in there. Owen Cody maybe might be involved. But yeah, I would think Kilkenny will just about be too strong for Clare. And again, it might necessarily be the end of the world for Clare, but look, I think Clare's big focus will obviously come Munster and the All-Ireland.
Yeah, it's a fair point to raise, and maybe Clare will focus on towards that. But I'm going to stick with a Clare win. I just think that, one, they need to beat Kilkenny, and two, they need a national trophy on the board. So I'm going to go for a Clare win in that game. From the top of the table to the bottom of the table, we have Waterford against Wexford in Division 1A on Sunday at 3:30 on TG Carr. And the way the league is structured, the loser of this game looks to be in massive bother to go down to Division 1B next season. Wexford haven't won a game so far, but they haven't lost a game either. It's a weird kind of a scenario. They've drawn all three games against Offaly, against Kilkenny, and against Clare. So pretty good record in fairness. And the game against Offaly, they were down to 13 men, albeit there's rumours they're going to be without. They're definitely without Lee Chin this weekend, and they could be without Kevin Rowley as well. So that's a huge loss for Keith Rossiter's side. As for Waterford, it's a weird one. It really is. The last two games in particular, they won win against Offaly, obviously, but the last two games against Clare and against Cork, Davy Fitz mentioned in the post-match interview, it was the third quarter. It was the effing third quarter. And Waterford need to improve in that department if they are to show up in this game and win. And it was a bit of a weird one in the last game, because was it Waterford performing well in the last quarter, or was it Cork taking the foot off the accelerator? I'm not sure to this day, but like, whatever the case may be, both these sides need to win to avoid relegation.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, and to be honest, like looking at Waterford, I just think all is not right there with Waterford right now. If I'm being honest, like they seem to have way too many patches in games where they just go missing and they stop scoring, and they seem to go like 10, 15, 20 minutes and stop playing. And like obviously there's been murmurings of certain players not being happy, certain players obviously, you know, not making themselves available. Obviously Austin Gleeson being one of the most known players with Waterford. You know, but yeah, I fancy Wexford, to be honest with you. I know Wexford haven't won a game, but I've liked some of the younger Wexford lads that have come in. Corey Byrne Dunbar, I think, has been very impressive. Keane Byrne has been good. Seamus Casey was very impressive the last day with a goal and 4 points. So yeah, I fancy Wexford, and it is a strange one, because like the opening day they drew against Kilkenny, you know, there were moments away from winning that. Obviously coming up against a very good Kilkenny side. Against Offaly, they went down to 13 men. They managed to drag that out and still get a result. I didn't see any of the Clare game, to be honest with you, so I don't know the whole scenario around that one. But what I do know is that Wexford have shown a good bit of fight so far, and I think they will have enough to get over the line against Waterford. I think Waterford have far too many patches in games where they just go missing. And I think it is a very worrying trend for Davy Fitz's men. And yeah, I think the writing on the wall is there for Waterford. But yeah, I can see Wexford beating them and turning them over.
Yeah, it's a weird thing, even without Lee Sheen and Kevin Foley. I just expect Wexford to win the game as well, because I like the way that Keith Rossiter is not building on. Well, he's changing a lot from last season, because last season was obviously an abomination for Wexford, losing the Westmeath. They could have easily gone down to the Joe McDonagh. And Keith Rossiter steadied the ship. He may not have won a game, but he's definitely grinding results with these players, and grinding results against Kilkenny and Clare is no mean feat either. And we're both going for Wexford winning this game. But just before we move on to the next one, Waterford, what are your thoughts on Davy Fitz, for instance? Like, I think Seamus mentioned this as well. Like, if he goes at the end of the season, which looks very likely at the moment, Davy Fitz, because it's just weird. The whole atmosphere seems weird at the moment with Austin Gleeson leaving. The players are not playing for him. It doesn't seem in patches of games, as you mentioned there. Like, and if he does leave at the end of the season, where does he go? Like, I think the obvious answer is Dublin, and I'm sure you wanted him at Dublin in the past, but I'm not sure about it now. But, like it's a tough one, really, for Watford to comprehend it, especially David Fitz. And these post-match interviews are very, very weird, because it seems like, in a way, he's defending his players sometimes, and in a way, he's throwing his players under the bus in some instances. So, what's going on?
Yeah, I just think he's been found out. I think his style of hurling, you know, all the extra sweepers and everything else, and being overly defensive and trying to keep the ball, not really letting your players off the shackles. I think that style has been found out, unfortunately. You know, he was at Clare for quite a while. He was at Wexford for a long time as well. Obviously, had huge success with Wexford winning a Leinster title. But when you actually look at sort of his last couple of years at Wexford combined with his first couple of years at Waterford, like, the win rate is very, very poor. It's not really good at all. And I do think there is, you know, we have this with all the best managers, all the great managers, where especially with a style and everything else, there is a life cycle, and maybe he's gone as far as he could. And yeah, look, maybe, you know, as you said, going to Dublin, you know, a couple of years ago, you know, I would have been very, very behind that. Looking at it now, looking at the way Dublin hurling is now combined with Davy Fitz, I just couldn't see that working out. Do you know what I mean? And like Micheál Donoghue, I think, is a very good manager, but even he can't really get a tune out of Dublin right now. And I'm not too sure. I think the best solution for Dublin is to probably get a man who knows Dublin hurling inside and out, because there's a bulk of younger players, there's a bulk of club players. And I think going for an outside man probably isn't the right way to go about it anymore, especially looking at how things have gone under Micheál Donoghue. But it's a hard one to know with Davy Fitz. And yeah, like, I think if he was to let the lads off the shackles a little bit, like when they played Tipperary last year, you know, they can pull a result. They do have good players. You know, there's no doubt about it. Desi Hutchinson on his day, you know, I think is one of the most skillful hurlers on the country. Will he be a big player for Waterford this year? It's hard to know. So there's just a lot of question marks over Waterford at the minute.
There is, and it's hard to see where they get the win in Munster as well come the summer. But we're both predicting a Wexford win in this game. And we spoke a bit about Dublin, David Fitz there. We're speaking about Dublin now under Micheál Donoghue. They're going to Galway this weekend at Pearse Stadium at 1:30 in Division 1B on Sunday. Seamus was very negative about Dublin, I will say, after the Limerick game and before this game. He thinks Dublin will get a trouncing in this game. I think it'll be tighter than people expect. I do think Galway, there's a bit of a soft underbelly with them, and they aren't as good with Henry Shefflin over them, in my honest view. And the fact that Dublin drew to them last year in the Leinster Championship and easily could have won that game, I do think Dublin, in some instances, have a good performance in them, especially against Galway. But I wanted to get your views on it. Are you as negative as Seamus about the Dublin team at the moment, or are you just accepting that Limerick were just a much better team the last day in Croke Park?
Yeah, like, I think, yeah, like, I don't, it's kind of a hard one. It's kind of just where Dublin are at, in all honesty. You know, like, it just is where Dublin are at. Like, the result against Limerick didn't surprise me. I think an 18-point win was a fair result. And I think if Limerick, to be honest, Limerick could have put their foot on the gas more and probably beaten Dublin by 30 or 40 points. You know, like, I think that's how good Limerick are, and that's probably how poor Dublin are at the minute. I just think Dublin at the minute just look like a very easy team to play against. There doesn't seem to be much ferociousness in our tackling. I think we look very disjointed in terms of attack. We're missing opportunities. The fluidity to Dublin's play doesn't seem to be there. And we just look like a very easy team to play against. Like, we, you know, no disrespect to, you know, your Westmeads, your Carlos, your Offaly's. But, you know, a lot of the time for Limerick, Galway, Cork, Clare, when they would be playing those teams, it is an easy win. You know, like, there's no other way about it. And Dublin weren't always that. Dublin were the type of team that, you know, you couldn't take them for granted, because they might just give you a game. They might just give you a game, and every now and again we pull off a result. But now, unfortunately, I do think we're now firmly in that category. And like, there are good hurlers in Dublin, there are good players, but you know, a lot of the younger players that I'd hoped would kick on and make more of a breakthrough don't seem to be. You know, likes of Dara Purcell, AJ Murphy, I think, are two bright sparks for the future, but don't really seem to be getting into the team as much. Ronan Hayes, for whatever reason, we can't quite seem to get the best out of him. He looked like sort of a main focal point for Dublin a couple of years ago. Obviously, Donald Burke's only freshly back from, you know, a long enough injury, so he can't really sort of knock him too much. Keno Sullivan's been in good form. Connor Burke's been all right. But yeah, like, if you know, you've still got the likes of Danny Sutcliffe sort of doing a job here and there. And yeah, I think unfortunately Dublin are probably just have just regressed. And I think realistically, I know a lot of people, when Dublin hurling went on a bit of a bounce around 2013, 2012 and sort of the years after that, I think a lot of people thought, like, with the Dublin funding and everything, that Dublin hurling was going to kick on and start winning all Ireland's. But in reality, that hasn't been the case. And when you look at Dublin hurling's history, you know, the 2013 was a complete once off. And I think this will be a fairly easy game for Galway.
Would you think this would be 10 points plus this game against Galway? Okay. The thing is, like, Dublin have a tendency to fight, especially against Galway. So, like, there's always a chance. So I do think, before you say anything, Galway are probably the favourites in my book to win the game as well. But I think it might be tighter than people expect. Maybe Dublin will bounce back in this game when no one expects them to.
Yeah, I think it depends on Galway. I think the only way Dublin make the game closer is if Galway underperform and miss opportunities, like they have done a lot of the time when they play Dublin. Like, obviously, we drew with them last year as well in Croke Park. So, yeah, like, Galway have got, like, it's a hard one to know. I don't think, maybe it might be 10 plus, but I could see it being 7, 8 or 9, and I could see it being very comfortable. I could see Galway maybe having a 6-7 point lead at halftime, and they just maintain that lead the whole way through. You know, like, Jason Flynn's been in good form for them so far. Evan Noyland, Connor Whelan's obviously back in since the Antrim game. So, yeah, I think I could see Galway probably by 7, 8, 9. But again, if it was 10 plus, I wouldn't be too surprised.
GC, D-Dubs are very, very negative about your team in here. But no, I'm going to say it's going to be tight. I think Galway by about 3 or 4. I do think Dublin will stick with them. I wouldn't be surprised if they lead at halftime and then Galway start to park up in the second half and produce a show. But I do think it'll be tighter than people expect, and they book Galway to go on and win the game eventually. We'll move on to the next game in Division 1 and Division 1A, the final game of Division 1A of the weekend. Offaly against Cork in O'Connor Park at 1:15, live in the TG Car player and app. Offaly have really done well in the league campaign. Killian Coyley in particular has really excelled at centre-back. You have Adam Screeny coming into the senior team, which I think many people have been excited to see. You have Charlie Mitchell there as well. Owen Cahill still scoring from the free. So Offaly seem to be doing well under Johnny Cahill, albeit they've only got 1 point out of the possible 3 games. And even against Kilkenny, though, in the last game, they played at half-time in Nolan Park. And if it wasn't for a Turkwater surge, Offaly could have easily caused a shock in that game. So they look to be good at the moment. Cork got their first win of the campaign against Waterford in Super Valley Park in Kiev the last time out, with Jack O'Connor excelling with 1-3 from play. But really took their foot off the gas in the last 10 minutes or so against Waterford, which was concerning. But you'd be very surprised if there's anything other than a Cork win this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I think Offaly are definitely on an upward trajectory. Like, I think when we were speaking about Dublin there, like, Dublin are probably regressing year on year, but I think Offaly, especially with their underage recently, and as you mentioned, like, Adam Screeny, Charlie Mitchell, Owen Cahill's obviously been flying the flag in Offaly for a good couple of years now. So yeah, I think Offaly, like, things are looking positive from an Offaly perspective. Albeit, look, I know it was 13 men they came up against in Wexford, obviously, you know, going into the closing minutes of that game, probably disappointed not to get the victory. It was a huge opportunity to get a win. But they've shown a lot of positives. They definitely have, and ruffling up Kilkenny. I know people will say, oh yeah, fair enough, it's, you know, it wasn't Kilkenny's best team. There wasn't TJ Reid and everything else. But look, I've seen that Kilkenny team give Dublin, you know, a 15, 20 point hammering, you know, with one eye closed at the best of times, and when they've been missing key players. So, and even with that, like, the likes of Owen Cody, Adrian Mullen, Billy Drennan were all still playing that day for Kilkenny. So, yeah, there's a lot of positives from an Offaly perspective. But as you said, you would fancy Cork to be too strong. Was obviously a huge win for yourselves, the last day, first win of the league season. Jack O'Connor obviously back in the side, goal and 3 points the last day. So yeah, I think Cork will be too strong. I think that goes without saying. But I do think Offaly will give them a bit of a rattle at different points. But I think Cork will probably win it by maybe 6 or 7.
Yeah, I'd say so. That's a good way just to credit to Offaly, the way they've performed in the league campaign so far. And Cork are kind of finding their feet, finding their first team in many ways. And Seamus mentioned this point as well, that when you look at the forwards in particular for Cork, I can only name three 100% starters going to the championship. Robbie O'Flynn, Jack O'Connor, considering his form right now, and Patrick Horgan. The rest of the three spots are up for grabs. Maybe Seamus Hardy at 11, we'll have to see how that plays out if he does come back into fruition for Cork. But do you think Cork need to get like a start, particularly a 6 starting forwards, and just go with that and see how it goes in the next few weeks? Because you look at Limerick, you look at Clare, Tip to a lesser extent as well. They all know they're starting 6 forwards, and Cork do a quality to compete with them. But the problem is there's not enough consistency with the team selection. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely would. Yeah, because Cork have definitely changed their starting forwards, their team, and obviously they've had injuries and everything else. But I think with Cork, it's a weird one. They've almost had too much underage success in the last couple of years, where they've got too much options. Do you know what I mean? Like, they've got a lot of depth. And there's almost too many good players in Cork, which is, you know, it's leaving a headache. And I think the current management are having the same issue, you know, that the last management had under Kieran Kingston, where they don't really know, you know, their best starting 15. You obviously have certain players in the team like Patrick Horgan and others who are, I suppose, in many ways, you know, your key players and your experienced leaders and everything else. But we have seen players come in and out. Like Jack O'Connor was obviously a huge player when Cork got to the All-Ireland Final in 2021. We haven't really seen too much out of him since then. So it's an interesting one with Cork. And, you know, Brian Hayes been in decent form. Seamus Harnady as well. So, yeah, I think Cork have got a lot of depth. I think for, you know, for Pat Ryan and everything else, like, they do need to nail down a start in 6 in terms of forwards, just so they can build a bit of consistency and everything else, because they will need it when it comes to the Munster Championship, you know.
Possibly so, yeah. And even look at the other forwards in and out of the team: Declan Dalton, Shane Barrett, Alan Connolly, like, and as well as Ben Cunningham, who's come into the team from the under-20s from St. Finbar's. There are a lot of forwards there, and there's even rumours that Dara Fitzgibbon will go into centre forward as well. I'm not entirely sure about that. But then again, look, it'll be interesting, actually. Like, Luke Mead is usually played the forward, then he got dropped to midfield. Even midfield, we don't know who's going to play there. Like, if it's Gibbon, you have Mead, you have Eaton Toomey, and you have Brian Roach. So you actually don't know your midfield pairing either. So honestly, like, it's a worry for Cork. Maybe it's a good headache, maybe it's a bad headache. But what Pat Ryan needs to do is get a starting 15 going. And maybe the last 2 games against Wexford and Offaly, no disrespect to them, maybe it's an opportunity for Cork to nail down the starting 15 before the Munster Championship. And it looks like the Cork team won't get to the semi-final of the league. And maybe that could be a blessing in disguise for them to build more at the Munster Championship. But we are predicting a Cork win this weekend. And moving into the final game in the Hurling League Division 1 this weekend, with Westmeath against Antrim on Saturday at 3:30. Like, both sides are on 0 points, obviously, but Westmeath have performed probably better than Antrim, and well, probably definitely better, because Antrim, other than the Dublin game where they got very, very unlucky to lose that game, they got trounced against Galway in the last game, whereas Westmeath really put it up to Limerick. They really put it up to Tipperary, other than the end of it when Noel Connolly, unfortunate OG in that game. Like, I know Antrim have performed well in previous seasons prior to this, and they beat Westmeath quite handsomely last year in the Leinster Championship, but would you argue Westmeath are in better performance form than Antrim are right now?
Yeah, it is a hard one to know. I think with the players Antrim have lost, there definitely has been a regression with Antrim. And yeah, like Westmeath, again, like with Westmeath, they've had a, you know, as you were saying, against Limerick and Tipperary, they had a few good performers. I think David Williams looked very good, wasn't it, against Tipperary? 214. Yeah, like that's some tally to be scoring, in fairness. So yeah, look, I probably would fancy Westmead, in all honesty. Like Antrim, I think, yeah, especially with Neil McManus obviously not there anymore, and few other lads who've obviously opted out. Like I think Westmead probably will have the better of them. But this is one of them games where Antrim, you know, Antrim have been here multiple times and they know how to win these type of games. And Antrim maybe would have been targeting this game and everything else, albeit with the new structure, you know, both of these might still go down anyway. It's kind of hard to know. But yeah, I would fancy Westmead. I think they've just shown a little bit more over the last few games as opposed to Antrim.
Yeah, I'd probably predict Westmead to win the game as well. But you make a very good point that Antrim could have targeted this game from a mile off and went gung-ho for this game compared to the Galway game, where they kind of knew they were going to lose that. But we'll have to see in this weekend's game. And yeah, David Williams, as you mentioned, for Westmead is on huge form at the moment. I think 212 against Limerick, or something around them scoring statistics. I think 212 actually the first game. Off the top of my head, I actually can't remember who they actually played, but 214 against Tipperary as well, which was a massive scoring tally. So, yeah, I think Westmead will go on and win this game this weekend. We'll move on briefly to Division 2A. We probably won't discuss Division 2B downwards because obviously the media attention isn't there, unfortunately. So we'll go on to 2A briefly. So we have Kildare against Kerry on Saturday at 2 p.m. We have Carlow against Down on Sunday at 2 p.m. and Meath against Laois on Sunday at 2 p.m. And just for context for our listeners, the table at the moment is Carlow on top with 6 points, 3 wins from three. Laois second with 4 points, 2 wins from three. Then you have Down and Kerry both, or Down on 3 points, Kerry on two, Meath on two, and Kildare on 1 point, no win so far for Brian Dowling's men. But look at those games. You would probably expect Kildare, Kerry to be tight. Maybe Kildare to win that. Carlow to beat Down. And possibly Laois to beat Meath.
Yeah, I think so. I think Kerry, although they've, you know, missed you know, they've had a few players sort of missing this year as well and everything else. Probably, again, been in this division for quite a while. Have the neck of the woods. Know the lay of the land. I think they should come through Kildare. I think we've all been maybe like sort of looking, you know, I think every hurling fan around the country's probably had one eye on Kildare over the past year or so, just kind of hoping, you know, that they'll kick on so we can have another sort of new team to come along. But obviously they had a very good league campaign last season, but it just hasn't really kicked on since then. And whether it's because the quality isn't there or something else, I'm not entirely sure. But you know, maybe it was a bit of a false dawn. I don't really know. But like Kildare do have very good players, but you probably would fancy Kerry. I suppose Carlow going up against Down have been a bit like Kerry, a sticky team in the last couple of years, but you would fancy Carlow to come through that. And yeah, Laois against Mead, I think you would certainly fancy Laois to get the win there.
Carlow are showing at the moment, aren't they? And they look good for the All-Ireland campaign this year. And like the Joe McDonagh Cup champions, they beat Offaly last year, and Offaly look at them in the league. So like, how good are Carlow? We'll have to see over the next few weeks, but they should win this game at the weekend. As should Laois and Kildare, just slightly like Brian Dowling's in, the former Kilkenny Camogie coach. So like, he has to get his first win on the board as Kildare manager. So like I'd say Kildare will go on and win this game as well. Before we leave, we'll run briefly over the Camogie Leagues as well, the very Camogie League. Just Division 1A, we'll move on to Division 1B maybe in another podcast. But starting off with the first game, Cork against Tipperary on Saturday at 12 p.m. on the official Camogie YouTube channel. Cork have kept kind of the same team as last year, All-Ireland winners, obviously. Actually, Amy O'Connor didn't play in the last game. She didn't start anyway against Waterford, where they won by just a goal. Orla Callaghan getting the goal in that game. But they do have new players in. Orla Mullins in the team is going well. Katrina Mackey as well. Fiona Keating, Saoirse McCarthy did well in the forwards. As for Tipperary, they beat Galway in the last day out and they scored 3-10. Ema McGrath got 3-7 of that. So she did absolutely brilliant in that. Cauta Vann is obviously a good player. You have Karen Kennedy, Karen Blair. So Tipperary, obviously all out of the semi-finalists last year. So even though the game is in Cork, you would expect Tip to put it up to them, but eventually Cork to get over the line.
Yeah, I think so. Like Cork have, I suppose, done just about enough in the last two wins, obviously against both Waterford and Kilkenny. And yeah, obviously two wins from two so far. I think they've been, you know, they have the lay of the land, the neck of the woods and everything. They know how to come through these type of games. And as you said, like Amy O'Connor obviously missing the last day, but she was involved, I think, versus Kilkenny. Katrina Mackey, I think, was very good that day as well from looking at highlights and everything else. So yeah, I think you would fancy Cork to come through, but yeah, it is a bit of a sticky game, and I suppose it is a game that Tipperary do need to win, in fairness.
Yeah, they've one win on the board so far. The only win coming against Galway last time out. So, yeah, they probably need to win, but Cork look really, really good at the moment. Speaking of Cork and Tipperary, Cork are being part of the Big Three over the last few seasons. Galway and Kilkenny have been part of that over the last two to three seasons, or even more than that. They play on Saturday at 2 p.m. But to be honest, both these teams are kind of in transition, more so Galway. I know Colin Murray's still the coach there, but you have no Sarah Durbin, you have no Heather Cooney, you have no Niamh Kilkenny. You do have good players like Orla McGrath, Siobhan McGrath, Roisin Black, Dervla Higgins, Aoife Donoghue. Like, there are good players in Galway, but to miss those experienced players is going to be big for them in this season in particular. Kilkenny are kind of the same. I know Miriam Walsh, there was rumours about her coming back into the team. She doesn't seem to be in the team in the first few games for Kilkenny. I'm not sure what the story is there. But Aoife Doyle has come back in after a long period of injury, and she scored a goal in the last game against Clare. Katie Nolan's done well. Julianne Malone, Steffi Fitzgerald, Aoife Prendergast did well for Dixbor in the club championship. So this will be a tight game, but like, it could go either one or two ways. Galway could get the rub of the green with home advantage, or Kilkenny, maybe their better players will shine through and win this game.
Yeah, like, well, I suppose both sides, or in particular Kilkenny, are coming in with a good bit of momentum, obviously, after the Clare victory. And as you said, like, yeah, Katie Nolan, Steffi Fitzgerald, two players who obviously stood out that day. I think both of these two will probably have their eye probably on later in the year. I think that's probably the main focus for either one of these two. But especially after how good Kilkenny looked against Clare, and I suppose Galway coming in on the back of a defeat versus Tipperary, you would probably fancy Kilkenny to get the job done. So, yeah, I'd probably go with them by 3 or 4.
Yeah, I'm going to go for a draw on this one. I do think like home advantage could be massive for Galway to go on and win this game. And before we end the podcast, one more game, and it is Waterford against Clare on Saturday at 2 p.m. Waterford, the likes of Beck Carton are still there, Lorraine Bray, Niamh Rockett, basically nearly the whole team that reached the All-Ireland final last season. So maybe another stepping stone for Waterford. They lost the last day against Cork, but only by an Orla Cahalan goal. So they seem to be going well enough. As for Clare, they're the only side of the division with no wins on the board. They got beaten by 10 points against Kilkenny the last day, even though Lorna McNamara scored 1-5 of Clare's 1-9 the last day, and seems to be the main player for Clare. Maybe almost like a one-player team, but the likes of Zianz, Milano, and O'Loughlin need to step up more for Clare, but you would still expect Waterford to go on and win this game.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, Clare have been beaten fairly convincingly in the last two games, and I suppose maybe it has been a bit of a slow start in some ways for Waterford, obviously, as well. I know they obviously beat Tipperary, but I suppose, yeah, obviously beaten with that goal from Orla Cahalan versus Cork. So yeah, you would fancy Waterford at home. I think they will be too strong for Clare. Clare have been beaten, like, especially when you look at the margin of victory, when all the other sides seem to be very close to each other. I think you would probably fancy Waterford to get over the line here and, yeah, put some distance between themselves and the banner.
Yeah, and Clare in serious relegation trouble in this campaign, and I'd predict the Waterford win as well. So that's all the games that we rounded off in today's podcast. Like, subscribe, all that good stuff. Follow my account on Instagram, TikTok, all that. Follow Aaron as well on Gaelic Games Fan TV. Subscribe to his YouTube channel. Follow TikTok and Instagram and all that good stuff as well. Thanks to Capture Athletics for sponsoring today's podcast. Check out their gear if you haven't already. And until the next time, lads and ladies, we'll see you in the next episode, and take care.